Welcome to the Love and Light Live podcast, empowering crystal lovers and spiritual entrepreneurs to learn and experience the art of crystal healing. Get ready to listen in and join our crystal movement. Hello, and thank you so much for joining me for the Love and Light Live podcast brought to you by loveandlightschool.com. I'm your host, Ashley Levy, and this podcast is the number one place for all things crystals, where crystal lovers and spiritual entrepreneurs can learn and experience the art of crystal healing. In today's show, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm actually going to be sharing with you an interview that I did earlier this year with the amazing Kelly Paris. And the reason I want to share this with you is it's really kind of a behind-the-scenes look at my journey into sacred business or spiritual business as a crystal healer and a teacher. And the reason that I want to share this with you is so many of you out there listening are on your own journey, and you're probably on the fence, wondering whether or not to take your sacred business full time and really take that leap of faith that's needed to follow your heart, follow your passion, and do what you know that you were put on this earth to do. And I thought that by sharing a little bit about my story, it might kind of inspire you to see that, you know, my journey wasn't perfect either. It was a lot of trial and error, and it was a big learning experience. But the theme of this whole story is really just one about looking for those little clues from the universe and following your heart and understanding the doors that are being opened for you. So without further ado, I'm going to turn things over to this recorded interview between Kelly Paris and myself. I hope that you get a lot out of it. I go through my story. I tell you a little bit about some of my successes and failures. And at the end, I share some of my favorite tips and tools that I used to grow my own sacred business. So with that, I'll turn it over and I'll see you at the end of the podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome today. We've got Ashley Levy with us, and she is the founder of the Love and Light School of Crystal Therapies. Hi, Ashley. Welcome.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. I've been really looking forward to this interview.
Me too. I know we've had it planned for a little while, and I'm just so excited to dive in today and share with everyone.
Yeah, great. So tell us a little bit about your story and how this all came about for you. I know you've got this amazing school now, and how did you get from where you were, where you started, to what you are doing now?
You know, if I look back, I never ever would have guessed where things were going to take me. It was one of those things where I was really just sort of kind of following the doors that the universe was opening for me, following the breadcrumbs, so to speak, from one thing to the next. And I'm so happy that I kind of listened to that, those little gentle nudges that I was getting, because I couldn't have asked to be in a better, happier place in my life and in my business. So for me, this journey really started all the way back when I was a little girl. I was always interested in crystals, and I would spend a lot of time with my grandfather, and he had a really large mineral collection. We'd sit in his study and he'd show me different things about the crystals and tell me all about them. And that was a really special time for me. And, you know, of course, when I became a teenager, I got a little too cool for that stuff and kind of took a step back from it. And it was really in my early 20s that I started to kind of reconnect and rediscover that part of myself, and found that I was really looking for some deeper spiritual meaning in my life. And I had done, you know, quite a bit of self-study up until that point, learning what I could from books and from kind of scouring all corners of the internet. And it wasn't until 2007 that I actually took my first professional crystal healing training with an instructor. And that was a huge transformational moment in my life, because I finally got to really experience what it was like to learn about crystals, to share about them in a group setting. And it was kind of that fork in the road moment for me, because I'd actually been finishing up my degree at the University of Wisconsin in botany. I had a degree in horticulture, but there was a lot of kind of family and societal pressure to go do something that's going to make more money. So everyone said, you know, go back to school, do the botany degree. So I was kind of on this path to something that didn't really resonate with me on a soul level. I mean, it was kind of like at that point, I could go have this career in botany where I was making genetically modified organisms for Monsanto or something like that, which really didn't feel good. Yeah. Or I could totally, you know, take this other fork in the road and listen to what I really felt called to do. And it was so scary because, you know, it was the same from everyone. You're never going to make any money. You're never going to be successful. Like, right. You might be happy, but you're going to be eating macaroni and cheese out of the box for the rest of your life. And that was really hard because I felt so torn. Like, I didn't know what the right decision was, but ultimately I decided the other path really wasn't making me happy. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of people in my life who chose that kind of a path and were stuck in a job that wasn't fulfilling, that they were really honestly pretty miserable in. And that carried over into really every aspect of their life. And I told myself at that moment, I didn't want that to be my story. Mm. And so no matter how hard it was, no matter what kind of odds were stacked against me, I was going to make it work. And I had no idea what I was doing. I had no business experience. All I knew is that I love crystals and I had a passion for that. And that's what made me happy. And I was going to go for it.
Yeah, that's great. And it's so courageous because so many people feel that way and don't, you know, they just can't bring themselves to do it. So, you know, it's amazing that you did. And what was the first kind of nudge into that you took into the business?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the thing for me, when I really weighed those two options, it was scarier to think about spending the next, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years of my life in a job that wasn't going to be fulfilling. Mm. That was much scarier to me than making this big decision to go do something, you know, totally kind of that was just really fulfilling, kind of a soul calling. So the very first thing I did after I took my professional training was that I decided I really wanted to do this as a career. I wanted to have my own crystal therapy practice. So I started seeing clients, and the very first thing I did just to get some practice was actually just offer free sessions. I really didn't have, you know, enough confidence yet to charge for my services. I was still figuring things out. And I thought, hey, this will be a great thing. So every person that I met that was kind of interested in what I was doing, I would invite them for a half an hour free session with me. So I'd do a 30-minute session because where I was practicing, it was also new to a lot of people. You know, crystal therapy isn't a super mainstream thing like massage. It's certainly probably not even as well known as something like Reiki. So it was challenging because it was kind of like introducing this new modality into my community. Yeah. So I did a lot of free sessions. I went to a lot of really like smaller community groups, women's spirituality and support groups, groups for women entrepreneurs, and just talked about what I did and then invited people to come see me for a free session. Because like I said, I didn't have much business experience, didn't know what I was doing, but that just seemed like the best way at the time to kind of get myself out there. And while I was doing that, I was really building my confidence because people would come see me for a free session. And sometimes they'd come back and see me for a paid session as a follow-up. And that was such a good feeling. Like, okay, there's some momentum, there's something happening here. But it was kind of killing two birds with one stone. So I was just starting out. I was helping to build my skills and my confidence in my niche, while also kind of putting myself out there, educating my community a little bit about what I did. And it was a really good fit. And I think, you know, that the transition for me from being a practitioner into what I do now as a teacher really started shortly thereafter, because I found in the second half of my sessions, a lot of what I was doing was really talking to my clients about what they could do with crystals. Because part of what had kind of inspired me was, you know, my personal transformation and how powerful I felt like the stones were when I worked with them personally. And although I was getting a great deal of joy and being really fulfilled by the work I was doing with my clients, as my practice started to grow, it became more apparent to me that the thing I was most interested in was empowering other people to kind of take charge of their own healing. Yeah. And the best way for me to do that was through teaching. So yeah. I'd usually spend the first half of the session doing some healing work, and then the second half of the session teaching and give my clients a little homework, because ultimately I wanted to see them kind of go out into the world and make their own relationship with crystals and do their own healing. So once I'd kind of been doing that for a while, I realized that I really loved it. I mean, I loved doing the healing sessions, but the teaching just took me to a whole nother place of happiness. And I knew that that was something I had to do more of. And so I started to put together some small events. I dropped out of the university and started working part-time at a New Age store in my community. And around the same time this was happening, the person I worked for at the New Age store, my boss, was looking for a business partner. She was getting to the age where she was thinking about retiring in the next few years. And I thought, you know what? This would go so well with building my practice. This is something I really want. But I was in my early 20s. Again, I had no business experience. I had no money. I had no idea what I was going to do. But I thought, you know what? Somehow I have to make this work.
Yeah.
So I kind of went to her and laid it all on the line and said, listen, this is something in my heart of hearts I know I'd be good at. I know I want to do. I would be so excited to do this with you, but I have no idea, you know, how I could ever afford to make payments to buy in and be a partner. And she said, you know what? And I'll never forget these words. She said, you really have an ownership mentality. You treat this business like it's your own, even though you're just an employee here. I've been wanting to ask you to be my business partner, but I know you were still thinking about whether or not you were going to return back to school next semester, and I didn't want to put pressure on you. And that was like one of my biggest signs from the universe. Like, okay, I'm supposed to do this. This is something that's important. She feels it. I feel it. So at the time where we became business partners, it really allowed me to grow and expand my business even further. We had a small space where I could offer sessions. I could kind of schedule them in during my workday, which was great. I know a lot of people don't have that luxury, but you know, I think the lesson in this is to really find something that's going to work for you, that's going to work for your lifestyle and what you need to create, and just piece things together around that. I mean, it doesn't have to look like what anyone else is doing. It can just be your own thing. And I never would have thought that I would have even had those opportunities available to me. And just by speaking up, speaking my truth, and saying what I wanted and needed from the universe and from my support network around me, that's what really started to put all those things into place.
Yeah. And you're really working from that abundance mindset, really, you know, where you know you'll be taken care of if you just follow those nudges. It's great.
Absolutely. And you know, it's one of those things I think a lot of people, they tell the universe, this is what I want, but the universe also waits for you to kind of take action and, you know, really make those first steps, take those first steps, whatever those are. So for me, it was just speaking up and saying, this is something I want. And that was a really difficult conversation to have. But I thought, you know, again, what's the worst that can happen? She could just say, well, thanks for saying that, but it's not really going to work out for me.
Yeah.
She was so wonderful. And we worked out a payment arrangement and she was okay with, because she was, you know, planning on retiring a few years down the road. And she said, you know, I can kind of wait. I don't have to have it all at once. So that worked out really well. And it was actually the kind of the perfect thing for both of us. So from there, I started to do more events because we had this great space at the store. I started teaching more classes. I was still building my practice. I started to have some regular repeat clients, which was really fueling my confidence. And I was really starting to kind of own it. You know, it was that thing of, even though I didn't have the previous experience, even though I didn't have business training, I was just really honest with myself and learned from every experience, my successes and my failures, and just got really clear on what was working and what wasn't. And when something wasn't working, I would, you know, think about it for a moment, but instead of throwing myself a pity party, I would just think, okay, this isn't working and it's hard. So what else can I do? What else can I try? And so one of the things that I got really a lot of clarity on was that this teaching thing was something that was really bringing me a lot of joy. And I thought, so far, my heart has not let me down. You know, I've listened to the things that have made me the happiest, the things that I really want in my life, and I'm going to go for more of that. So I said, the teaching's really making me happy. I'm going to go for more of that. So I started hosting some workshops in our space at the store, which was lovely. I really got to connect with a lot of wonderful people. And I started sending actual physical mailings, because this was back out, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
to everywhere in the local area I could think of that might have people that were interested in the kinds of classes I was teaching. So I was sending some mailings out to other metaphysical stores and health food stores and co-ops and yoga studios and all kinds of places where I thought, you know, my kind of people were hanging out. And little did I know that's actually like an amazing marketing thing to do. I just had no idea that that's how you were supposed to do it. So I was really onto something. And one of the businesses that got my flyer for one of my upcoming events was actually about an hour and a half away. And I didn't even know this when I sent the flyer because I was, you know, just trying to do research online of who I could mail things to. And one of the places that I had sent a flyer to was actually a healing arts school. And I thought it was just a crystal shop, but it was a crystal shop with a healing arts school attached. And this is kind of another one of those, you know, breadcrumbs from the universe moments. But I got a phone call from the woman who owned that school. And she said, "You're not going to believe this, but my crystal therapy instructor just told me that she is moving to India for 2 years to go on this wild once in a lifetime spiritual journey. And now I have no one to teach our crystal therapy program for an upcoming semester. And I got your flyer in the mail and I'd been asking the universe, you know, to help me and provide me with this person who is supposed to teach crystal classes at my school. And then the very next day, your flyer came in the mail and it said crystal therapy teacher." And she said, "I knew I had to call you. And she said, would you be willing to put together a curriculum and come and talk to me?" So I met with her. That really pushed me to outline the best crystal program I possibly could. And there was nothing really like this at the time. So this was a full certification program. It was 13 classes at the time that people had to go through. They had to actually make a year commitment out of their lives to go and get this training. And it was such an amazing experience because I got to work one-on-one with people and see those transformations take place. And I, at that time, had started kind of networking with people all over the world that were interested in crystal healing because it still wasn't super mainstream. So I felt very isolated and very alone a lot of times in my interests and my hobby. And it was really hard to find others who shared that. So I reached out to people online and I found this great online community and started sharing with them about everything we were doing in the program at this healing arts school. And I started to have people ask me, "Well, can you bring that online? Can you?" And I said, "Yes, I will figure it out." So, you know, again, no business experience, no tech experience, but I said, "I'm just going to make it work." And a year later, I had the program up and running. I had my first 20 students enrolled. You know, I started small, but it's just been growing ever since.
Wow. And that was, how long ago was that?
That was just in 2011.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. So when you think back, if you had any opportunity to maybe do things a little bit differently, if you had had, say, a bit more experience, or what would your words of wisdom be to anyone who's sort of starting out? What might you do a bit differently?
You know, that's such a good question. And I was really trying to think about that before our interview. And I think the thing I wish I had done sooner, not only in my crystal therapy practice, but then once I had the school and began growing this whole different kind of online business, I wish I had gotten a business coach. I wish I had connected with a mentor. And there were so many resources available to me that I didn't even know about. Like here in the States, we have the Small Business Association. They're all kind of mentors who actually volunteer their time to help you. And now I've been actually working with a business coach for several years. And it's someone I still turn to for help all the time. And I wish I had done that sooner, because as soon as I started to have that objective third party to help me evaluate, really be more considerate about my decisions, my choices, just have an outside perspective. Sometimes it's one step back from everything else. It can see the big picture a little bit more rather than being wrapped up in all the details. That's what's really made a huge impact on my business. I think I've always had a good intuition about which direction to take and how to implement and strategize. But just having someone to bounce ideas off of, someone to give you a little bit of guidance and clarity, or just help talk through something so that you can get clarity for yourself, that's something I wish I had done so much sooner.
Yeah, I definitely feel that for sure. And it comes back to that abundance mindset too, doesn't it? You know, if you're in scarcity or whatever, there's a real fear of of putting your money out there before you're even earning it, or or paying for that. It sometimes in the early days, especially when you're starting up, it can seem like, how am I going to come up with a couple of $1,000 to pay somebody to, you know, to mentor or coach me through the process when I'm not even bringing anything in yet? And you have to sometimes put yourself right out there, throw yourself into the fire to get exactly what you need, and just have to have faith that it's going to come once you, you know, follow the trail of crumbs, like you said.
I'm so glad you said that, Kelly, because that's exactly what stopped me. You know, I was trying to bootstrap my little business and grow it from nothing. You know, although my new age store was doing great and I was, you know, able to support myself and my family with that, it still wasn't enough then to take what I was living off of and then reinvest that into growing this business. So it was really like every little bit I made in the business, I reinvested and reinvested. And it was so hard to make the decision to put those dollars into a coach when it seemed so uncertain at that time, rather than, you know, investing in advertising or marketing or something like that. So I got really creative and found tons of ways to do free marketing for my business, which were great and really helped me. But then, you know, it was that fear of exactly what you said, that kind of scarcity mindset. Is this going to really pay off paying someone else for their expertise? And like I said, as soon as I started working with that coach, I just saw my business skyrocket. And that's like the one regret looking back that I wish I had done sooner, because I feel like I'd be even further ahead, or like I'd be able to reach so many more people and be so much more fulfilled. And it's something that I encourage everyone to really take a hard look at. And if you're feeling some fear-based thoughts creep in about it, really challenge those and ask yourself where they're coming from. And, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. You also need to be realistic, but pushing yourself a little bit outside your comfort zone can be really beneficial too.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Do you have any bits of technology or a tool or something that you're currently using that you just couldn't live without that you could share with us?
I have several.
Great.
So my absolute like favorite thing right now that my whole team uses is Canva. It's actually an online graphic design program, basically. It's totally free to use. But then they do have little things, like if you need some stock photos to use in your business, they have things that you can purchase. But I just love it because it's really easy. I'm not a very good graphic designer. Like, it is not a strength of mine, but I feel like with Canva, I can even make something that looks beautiful and that I feel really good about. So Canva's great. It's canva.com, kind of like canvas, but without the S. And that's a great resource. It's one of my favorites, just for creating some cute little thing that you want to put up on Facebook, or, you know, to promote a program or something like that. I love it. Another thing that has been really instrumental in my business just in the past 8 or 9 months has been Infusionsoft.
Oh yeah.
Which is an email marketing software. I love it. If you're not using any kind of email marketing software, you definitely have to get on board with that. I started out with MailChimp and it served me well for many years. And then I just needed a little upgrade in the past, like I said, in the past year or so. So I kind of moved up to Infusionsoft, but that's been really great for me. And then the other thing that I really love is Zoom, because my team is actually scattered all over the world. I have business coaches in California and Chicago. My VA lives in New Zealand. My customer service associates in Tennessee. So we can all get together on Zoom and have virtual conferences, and it's really easy to use and it's free.
Yeah. I love it. That's great. Thanks for that. I just wanted to ask you, like, how do you optimize your day as an entrepreneur and, you know, with multiple streams of income and different things happening, as well as sometimes you're in the actual, you know, whether it's working with clients, but then you've got other hats where you're promoting / then creating. Like, there's a lot of balls in the air really when when you're a creative type person and trying to bring that into business as well. So what are some of the things that you do to make it all work for you?
I guess this a little bit actually ties into the technology question. One of the tools that I really love is Asana, asana.com, and it's a project management tool. There are others like Basecamp and things like that. I found Asana works really well for myself and my team. Mm-hmm. And that just helps me take one big project, lists out every single step that I need to take to complete that project. And then it lets you assign it to yourself or a staff member or team member, and then also put a due date on it. It's also really cool because you can comment back and forth, different people can add ideas, and that really just helps me get things organized and kind of map it out. So that helps me really stay on track and see what's coming up in terms of deadlines and due dates. The other thing that I would really recommend to anyone watching, I read this life-changing book last year. It was called The 12-Week Year, and I can't remember the author. It's probably right over here on my bookshelf, but it really talked about pretending, instead of looking at your whole year and everything you want to get done for the year, you just look at the next 12 weeks and you pretend like if you only had those 12 weeks, if that was really like your year, how would you organize things differently? What would you focus on? And it really makes you put the most important things first and not get so caught up in the little tedious things. Yeah. It's kind of like that 80-20 rule, right? Like, like 80% of your time usually gets eaten up in the other things, and it's really only 20% that really has an impact. So 20% of the work ends up having 80% of the impact. So that really helped me get a lot clearer on how I needed to structure and prioritize things. And then when I go into my project management software like Asana, it just helps me look at it through a different lens. You know, what's really urgent and important? And if something's not important, I don't do it. If it's not urgent, I do it later. So it just really helps kind of get that organized and keep me and my team kind of on the same page.
Great. Yeah, that's really good. And do you have something that you can offer to the audience today that I think you might have a free gift there that would be fantastic for them to come over and check out?
I sure do. So the thing that I wanted to share with everyone who's watching is my Marketing for Healers checklist. And although this is something that I designed specifically for healing arts practitioners, it's really something that you could use in any service-based business. And it's some creative, bootstrappy ideas to doing marketing on the cheap when you don't have a big budget to invest. And it's just something that I kind of compiled for myself as a little checklist. And then I thought, I know people would love this because these were all the things that I did in the earlier days to build my business before my business could, you know, afford bigger kinds of advertising campaigns and that sort of thing. And there's still most of the practices we still use today, even though we are a bigger company now.
Fantastic. I think I might download that one for myself. So we're going to put a link below the video and everybody can come over and jump on and download that one. So that sounds amazing. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thanks so much for your time today. I really enjoyed. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch this interview because you just gave me so much to think about. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Kelly. It was my pleasure.
Oh, no worries at all. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I know it's evening where you are and morning over here. So I hope it's fantastic what's left of it for you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ashley.
The Love and Light Live podcast is a production of the Love and Light School of Crystal Therapy. Visit us online at loveandlightschool.com.